Welcome back to Mechanical Dreams, the podcast where we try to understand what our neural networks are dreaming about when we aren't looking. I am Professor Norris, and as always, I am joined by my brilliant student, Linda.
Hi, everyone. I am so excited for today's episode. We are diving into a brand new preprint from EPFL titled How Learning Rates Regulate Catastrophic Overtraining by Mark Rofin, Aditya Varey, and Nicholas Flammarion.
Now, Linda, I've been around long enough to know all about catastrophic forgetting. It's what happens when I try to learn a new programming language and suddenly forget how to cook dinner. But catastrophic overtraining... that's a new phrase for me.
It is a fascinating phenomenon that was recently discovered by Springer and colleagues earlier this year. And this new paper tries to figure out exactly why it happens mechanistically. Basically, we all know the standard LLM pipeline, right? You do a massive unsupervised pre-training run to get a capable base model, and then you do supervised fine-tuning, or SFT, to teach it to follow instructions.
Right, the SFT stage is crucial. If you skip it and go straight to RL phase, the model struggles to get a reliable signal or spits out completely unreadable chains of thought. But we also know SFT tends to degrade the general out-of-distribution capabilities the model learned during pre-training. That's the classic catastrophic forgetting problem.
Exactly. But here's the crazy part. It was observed that if you take a base language model and pre-train it for longer, it obviously becomes a better general model. But when you apply that same SFT to teach it to follow instructions, that better base model actually suffers from much more catastrophic forgetting of its general skills compared to an earlier, objectively worse checkpoint.
Why? Let me get this straight. You invest millions of GPU hours to make a smarter base model, pouring billions of tokens into it, and your reward is that it forgets everything the second you try to teach it to be polite. That seems completely backwards. Usually a better representation is more robust.
That is exactly why it is so counterintuitive. If scaling up pre-training budget inherently results in stronger forgetting during post-training, the entire paradigm of throwing more compute at pre-training might need to be adjusted. The initial hypothesis from prior work was something called progressive sensitivity to noise. The idea was that adding more tokens made the model more plastic to downstream modifications, but nobody really understood the underlying cause.
I can see why. It sounds almost like a statistical artifact at first glance. You could argue that a model has finite capacity. The better it fits the pre-training distribution, the more it has to overwrite to fit the fine-tuning distribution. A zero-sum game, essentially.
That was a prevailing theory, but recently other researchers found that just using lower learning rates during SFT can partially mitigate the forgetting. If it were purely a capacity issue, the learning rate shouldn't matter that much. You would just end up overriding capacity anyway to reach the same SFT loss. This clue led the EPFL authors to look at this through the lens of optimization dynamics, rather than just statistical capacity.
All right, I'm skeptical, but I'm listening. Optimization dynamics are notoriously tricky to pin down in these massive loss landscapes. How exactly did they set up their experiments to prove this is not just an artifact?
They started by looking at catastrophic forgetting in standalone models to establish a baseline. They took 4 1 billion parameter models like OMO, Hubble, and Gemma 3, and fine-tuned them on the Anthropic HH dataset. But instead of just looking at the final model, they carefully controlled the learning rates and tracked the exact trajectory of the parameters. They wanted to see if models that reach the exact same fine-tuning loss behave differently out of distribution.
Oh, that's a smart control. If two models have the same loss on the instruction dataset, but different generalization capabilities, you know the optimizer took them to qualitatively different minima in the parameter space. I think I see where this is going, and I'm starting to get why you were so excited to bring this paper in today. So you left us hanging at the end of the last segment, Linda. The researchers trained these 1 billion parameter models with different learning rates but stopped them at the exact same fine-tuning loss. What did they find?
They found a striking effect.
Models fine-tuned with higher learning rates exhibited significantly lower out-of-distribution performance on tasks like ARC and HeliSwag. So even though the models were equally good at following instructions according to the fine-tuning loss, the high learning rate models forgot much more of their general knowledge.
Fascinating. Since they achieved the same training loss, they essentially moved equivalent distances in terms of the objective function, but the optimizer steered them to completely different regions of the parameter space. This is a classic example of implicit regularization.
Exactly. The choice of learning rate alone dictates which minimum the model falls into. The authors framed this using the concepts of lazy versus rich optimization regimes.
Ah, yes. A low learning rate keeps the model in the lazy regime. It barely moves from the pre-training initialization, relying almost entirely on the existing features to solve the fine-tuning task. A high learning rate pushes it into the rich regime, forcing the model to learn new task-specific features, which in this case overrides the old ones.
To prove this was actually happening inside the network, the authors needed to quantify how much the internal features were changing. They introduced a specific metric for this called the mean principal angle, or MPA.
Mean principal angle. That sounds like they are treating the model representations as vector spaces and measuring the geometric rotation between them.
That is exactly what they did. They took the centered activation matrices from the residual streams of both the base model and the fine-tuned model. Then they performed singular value decomposition on these matrices to extract the top singular vectors.
I see. And then you compute the arc cosine of the inner products between those singular vectors to get the angle. If the model is not changed at all, the angle is zero. As the representations diverge, the angle increases.
Precisely. And the results were super clear. Across all the models they tested, fine-tuning with a high learning rate resulted in a much larger mean principal angle than fine-tuning with a low learning rate for any fixed level of training loss.
So the representations literally rotate further away from their original pre-trained state when you use a large learning rate. They call this feature drift, I assume.
Yes, feature drift. And just to be absolutely sure the math mapped on to meaningful semantic changes, they also verified this using sparse autoencoders on Gemma 3. They tracked the distance between the latent features restored by the autoencoder, and it correlated almost perfectly with the mean principal angle. High learning rates fundamentally overwrite pre-trained representations.
Okay, but why? I understand the high-level intuition of lazy versus rich regimes, but mechanistically, what is happening step-by-step in the loss landscape to cause this discrepancy?
They looked at the very first 100 steps of fine-tuning to answer that. They found that the feature drift shoots up rapidly at the very beginning of training. And here's the kicker. While the training loss is roughly convex with respect to the learning rate, the increase in feature drift is linear.
Let me think about the math there. If the drift increases linearly with the learning rate, but the loss reduction has diminishing returns due to convexity, that means taking a massive step gives you a lot of feature drift, but doesn't buy you proportional progress on the loss.
You nailed it. Achieving the same total decrease in loss requires accumulating a much larger increase in feature drift if you use a high learning rate. The ratio of feature drift to loss reduction is just worse when you take big steps.
So taking giant leaps effectively scrambles the base features way more than taking many careful small steps, even if you eventually end up at the exact same altitude in the loss landscape. That beautifully explains why low learning rates protect against catastrophic forgetting.
It really does. They even confirmed this behavior in a simplified toy model, using sparse regression with two-layered diagonal linear networks, showing that this feature drift dynamic is a fundamental property of neural network optimization, not just a quirk of large language models.
Well, that is a very satisfying explanation for the fine-tuning side of things. But wait a minute. This explains why high learning rates cause forgetting, but it still doesn't explain the core overtraining mystery we started the episode with. Why does a model that was pre-trained longer forget when the fine-tuning learning rate is held constant?
That's the perfect question to lead us into the next part of the paper. To understand why longer pre-training causes more forgetting, we have to look at how the pre-training process changes the loss landscape itself, specifically something called model sharpness.
All right, Linda, you promised me an answer to the core mystery of catastrophic overtraining. We established that high learning rates during fine-tuning cause feature drift, but why does a model that has been pre-trained for longer, with more data, suddenly forget more when we apply the exact same fine-tuning learning rate?
The answer lies in how the loss landscape evolves over the course of pre-training. Specifically, it all comes down to the edge of stability.
Ah, the edge of stability, a classic phenomenon in deep learning optimization. For our listeners who might need a refresher, this is the observation that as you train a neural network, the loss landscape gets sharper and sharper until the optimizer is essentially bouncing along the brink of instability.
Exactly. The sharpness of the model, mathematically defined as the top eigenvalue of its loss Hessian matrix, naturally increases during training, but it doesn't increase forever. It hits a ceiling dictated by the pre-training learning rate. That ceiling is exactly 2 divided by the learning rate.
Right, the 2 over eta threshold. Once sharpness hits that point, the model can't get any sharper without the gradient descent steps becoming unstable, so it just oscillates around that edge. But wait, standard pre-training involves a learning rate schedule.
Yes, it does. Think about what happens at the end of a typical pre-training run. We anneal or decay the learning rate.
Oh, wow, I see it. If the learning rate, eta, goes down, then 2 divided by eta goes up. You are raising the ceiling on the edge of stability.
Bingo! When you decay the learning rate during pre-training, you are actually allowing the model to settle into much sharper regions of the loss landscape. So a later pre-training checkpoint isn't just a better model, it is mathematically a sharper model.
That is a brilliant connection, but I have to ask a practical question. Computing the top eigenvalue of a Hessian matrix is incredibly computationally expensive. How on earth did they measure true sharpness for billion parameter models like Gemma and Olmo?
You're completely right. Computing the true Hessian eigenspectrum for these models is basically impossible. So the researchers used a really clever perturbation-based proxy. They took the model, added a tiny bit of Gaussian noise to the parameters, and then measured the KL divergence between the original model's predictions and the noisy model's predictions.
That is a very elegant workaround. If the model is in a flat minimum, adding a little noise won't change its predictions much, so the KL divergence is low. But if it's in a sharp ravine, even microscopic noise will wildly change the output distribution. Did they verify this proxy actually works?
They did. They tested it on a smaller 14 million parameter Pythia model where they actually could compute the true Hessian sharpness, and the proxy tracked it perfectly. Armed with this metric, they looked at models trained with the newer warm-up stable decay, or WSD, schedules.
I love the WSD schedule. It's perfect for this kind of analysis because the learning rate is kept completely flat for the vast majority of training and only drops rapidly during the final cooldown phase. It isolates the learning rate decay variable beautifully.
Exactly. They looked at models like Small LM3B and Aperture 8B, which use WSD. During the long, stable phase, the sharpness stayed completely flat, just oscillating at the edge of stability. But the exact moment the learning rate cooldown kicked in, the sharpness skyrocketed.
Okay, so later pre-training checkpoints are undeniably sharper. Let's tie this back to fine-tuning. How does base model sharpness explain catastrophic overtraining?
Because sharpness provides the reference scale for what constitutes a large learning rate. A learning rate is only large or small relative to the steepness of the local loss landscape. If you take a fixed SFT learning rate and apply it to a flat base model, it acts like a small step, keeping you in the lazy regime we talked about earlier.
But if you apply that exact same fine-tuning learning rate to a much sharper base model, one that has gone through learning rate decay, that fixed step size suddenly acts like a massive learning rate. The walls of the loss ravine are steeper, so the optimizer gets violently catapulted around.
Yes, the sharper base model is hypersensitive to optimization steps. This artificially amplified effective learning rate throws the model straight into the rich feature learning regime, causing massive feature drift and overwriting all those valuable pre-trained capabilities.
That perfectly solves the mystery. The model isn't progressively more sensitive to noise just because it saw more tokens. It's more sensitive because the pre-training learning rate decay drove it into a steeper minimum, which in turn amplifies the fine-tuning feature drift. It's an optimization side effect, not a statistical capacity issue.
Exactly. They proved it empirically. They tracked small LM through its pre-training. As long as the learning rate was stable, catastrophic forgetting during fine-tuning remained constant, but the moment pre-training entered the cooldown phase and sharpness spiked, catastrophic forgetting suddenly surged right alongside it.
I am thoroughly convinced, Linda. The EPFL team painted an incredibly cohesive picture here. They linked the edge of stability, pre-training schedules, feature drift, and catastrophic forgetting into one unified mechanical explanation.
It really is a beautiful piece of research. It demystifies something that seemed totally paradoxical at first glance and turns it into a predictable, mathematically sound consequence of stochastic gradient descent.
So, Linda, we have painted a very clear, albeit somewhat terrifying, picture of the loss landscape. We know that sharp pre-training checkpoints combined with high fine-tuning learning rates lead to catastrophic overtraining. But how do we actually fix this in practice? What is the actionable advice for the engineers out there?
The authors lay out a dual story of learning rates, which translates into two major practical recommendations. The first one is about the fine-tuning phase. Basically, you should use the smallest possible supervised fine-tuning learning rate that still achieves acceptable in-distribution performance on your instruction dataset.
That makes total sense based on everything we have discussed. You want to stay in that lazy optimization regime as much as possible to protect the pre-trained features. But I imagine there's a trade-off there. A lower learning rate means it might take longer to converge.
Exactly. It might cost a bit more compute during the SFT phase because you're taking smaller steps. But when you consider that pre-training costs millions of dollars and SFT is just a tiny fraction of that, it is absolutely worth spending a little extra time on SFT to avoid lobotomizing your expensive base model.
I could not agree more. Never penny pinch on the fine tuning if it costs you the base model's general intelligence. Now, what is the second recommendation? You hinted earlier it had to do with the pre-training schedule itself.
Yes, and this is the spicy one. Because learning rate decay during pre-training is what causes the sharpness to spike, the authors suggest we might want to avoid pre-training learning rate decay altogether if we plan to do post-training.
No learning rate decay in pre-training? That goes against years of deep learning dogma. Everybody decays the learning rate at the end to get that final drop in validation loss.
It is definitely a paradigm shift, but the authors point out that you can just anneal the learning rate during the post-training phase instead. They even cite another recent paper by Yano and colleagues that suggests pre-training without learning rate decay enhances supervised fine-tuning. If you use a schedule like warm-up, stable, decay, you might just want to skip the decay phase entirely for your base model checkpoints.
That is fascinating. You essentially hand off a model that is still in a flatter minimum to the fine-tuning team. It might have a slightly worse pre-training loss on paper, but it's vastly more robust to downstream feature drift. You optimize for the final product, the post-trained assistant, rather than just optimizing for the lowest possible perplexity on the pre-training corpus.
Exactly. It completely changes how we measure the success of a pre-training run. Now, are there caveats? Yes, the authors explicitly note that they ran these experiments on models in the 1 to 3 billion parameter range. One could argue we don't know for absolute certain if this perfectly scales to frontier models.
Right, a 1 billion parameter model is practically a toy by today's frontier standards, but the underlying mechanics are driven by stochastic gradient descent and the edge of stability, which are fundamental to how these networks train regardless of size. I would be very surprised if the physics of the loss landscape suddenly changed at 100 billion parameters.
I agree, and the authors make the exact same point. Catastrophic forgetting and overtraining aren't emergent properties of massive scale. They happen consistently at the 1B scale, so it's a perfectly valid environment to study the mechanics. They also note that proving strict causality between pre-training decay and sharpness would require running massive, controlled pre-training ablations from scratch, which is prohibitively expensive, so they're relying on strong correlational evidence.
Well, maybe they can get a massive compute grant for their next paper. But honestly, the evidence they have compiled here is already incredibly compelling. It's a rare paper that takes a bizarre empirical observation like catastrophic overtraining and completely demystifies it with rigorous optimization theory.
I completely agree. It really highlights how interconnected the entire life cycle of a language model. The choices you make in month 2 of pre-training can completely dictate how the model behaves during alignment 6 months later.
A butterfly flaps its wings in the pre-training cluster, and a language model forgets how to do math during fine-tuning. Well said, Linda. And I think that brings us to the end of our journey today.
Thanks for diving into this one with me, Professor. I hope everyone listening found it as insightful as we did.
Thank you all for joining us on Mechanical Dreams. Until next week, keep your learning rates low and your memories intact.